Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and do I have an amazing show for you today? So I invite you to go ahead and grab your recorders, your notepads, whatever it is that you need to take notes, because I'm sure you're going to learn something from today's show. But don't just learn alone. I invite you to be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. That's right. Go out, find a friend, call a coworker, a roommate, your mom, I don't know, that ex you just broke up with. Give them a call and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're grabbing your friends, I want to go ahead and let you know about something that's very important to me and dear to my heart. This week, the Roundtable Talk Show is sponsored by Free Lunch Coffee. Free Lunch Coffee is on a mission to end hunger from the lives of underprivileged children. There are children out there who really need your support, yet it can be difficult and intimidating to know where to start and how to help. When you buy one bag of Free Lunch Coffee, you are providing 10 meals to children in need. And Free Lunch Coffee will donate 50% of the money earned to end hunger in the lives of young children. How cool is that? Beyond a fantastic cause, Free Lunch Coffee has great coffee that is specialty grade, certified organic, and tastes amazing. Use coupon code ROUNDTABLE at checkout for a 10% discount at freelunchcoffee.com. Again, that's Roundtable, two words, at freelunchcoffee.com to get your 10% discount. So while you're shopping for your coffee, I'll go ahead and introduce our first guest, who is Ms. Shahar Wright. Shahar Wright is a business law attorney and business strategist. She works with small businesses and nonprofit organizations. She represents businesses throughout the U.S. as general counsel. Good morning, Shahar. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited.
I'm excited as well. Now, one of the things that I liked about your bio was that too often when we speak to certain people, we always focus on one area, but you can help anyone across the nation. Is that correct?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, obviously I'm licensed here in the state of Texas, but I do a lot of work that is federal based, like trademarks, doing licensing agreements, and I work as general counsel for clients. And a lot of my clients are digital based businesses, online stores and retail stores. So they reach across various different states and things like that. So we do a lot of intercommerce work. So there's lots of different clients, and I have clients in various different states that I help.
Mm-hmm. So, because you can be on general counsel, I'm asking because I had another guest who I love asking the same question twice, right? Because I get different answers, and this is how I learn. But she was saying that small business owners, one of the things that we miss out on is having a general counsel or a counsel on our team until it's too late. After, you know, we run into problems and then have issues, then we want to go get help. So she felt it was a necessity to do initially with the business. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree to that to some extent. I mean, obviously, you know, when you're first starting out, money is scarce. And a lot of times, you know, legal costs seem prohibitive. And I totally understand that. I get it. I run a business as well. So I understand, especially for professional services, they can be a little bit pricey. But I think as you're growing and you're scaling, you definitely need to think about having an attorney as a part of your team. One of my things is, you know, not having that attorney as an afterthought. And you know, oh, you know, sometimes people will say, well, I don't have anything that happened or nothing's going on or everything's fine. Well, that's great. I'm all for that. But you don't want to wait until things, you know, blow up and, you know, your house is on fire before you start looking for your attorney. That's not the good time to do that. So you want to have someone that's a part of your team to keep make sure things continue to go well. You know, as PDD says, you know, more money, more problems. And, you know, that's why you need to have, you know, somebody, you know, on part of your team that can help you navigate through that.
I don't know that many lawyers who quote P. Diddy. Like, this.
Hey, cool. I love it. That's my thing. Yeah, I believe that phrase is for real.
She said, more money, more problems. That's why they called me. They got all into these legal troubles and now they need help. I love it. What would you recommend? You said you're a business strategist. What are some of the business strategies that you help business owners with?
definitely believe in planning ahead. I mean, I think a lot of times when you are in your business, you're just dealing with the day-to-day, the things that are going on, and you really don't get to stop to really plan. And I know I have a lot of conversations and people think, oh, I can't think past 90 days, or you know, I can't think past 6 months or year to year. I very much try to encourage my clients to think 3 and 5 years ahead, and let's sit down, let's plan, let's think about what where you see this business going in the next 3 years, in the next 5 years. Because you know, doing things for your legal business, it's very hard to keep redoing stuff every 6 months and every, you know, year and things like that, because it becomes cost prohibitive. So you want to think for the long term, put things in place that will last for the long term and allow you as a business owner to be able to focus on, you know, the day to day, but have these things in place. So when you're talking about getting your contracts, when you're talking about either buying or, you know, real estate or leasing real estate, whether or not you need trademarks, whether or not you need licensing agreements, and whether or not you're going to have these licensing agreement processes in place and things like that. You know, new offerings that you're thinking about doing, those kinds of things. How are you going to do that? And how are we going to make sure that it's in conjunction with what you already have and not creating additional problems, things like that.
So then with the time frames that you have given, how have you and your clients been able to adjust those as a direct result of the global pandemic and COVID? Because one of the things that I'm seeing and our guests talk about is that planning is like out the window. We have no idea how to move. So how do you do that and still, like you said, plan ahead?
Well, I don't think planning is out the window. I mean, for a lot of my clients, I mean, obviously, well, for everybody, when the pandemic hit and the shutdown came, that was not, you know, expected. But the ability to adjust, you know, I think through any kind of disaster is necessary. So I believe in disaster planning. So I'm always going to say that planning is a part of a key for any business. So you should have some kind of disaster plan in place for whatever happens. So my clients that work with me have some kind of disaster plan where, okay, we're now having to be completely remote. It may take some adjustment, but it's not that big of a deal to be able to move remotely. You know, the people that don't have never thought about being remote, never thought about having stuff online, never thought about, you know, what it was going to mean to have people in different places. They're the ones that are struggling because they couldn't adjust their business model quickly enough to be able to deal with the pandemic. But when you have plans in place, then you know that something could happen. We need to be ready for it. Obviously, you're not thinking this is going to be on this scale, but to the extent that you say that you know that you need to be ready for being completely remote, that's not something that was out of the ordinary. That could never happen because disasters happen all the time. It could be floods, which happened here in Houston. It could be fires. It could be, you know, just something that happens that's out of the ordinary with being out, put out of your building, all those kinds of things. So you should have some kind of disaster plan in place to help you through that. And you can plan for that.
I think that was very well said. Shahar, we're going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Norman Farrar. Norman is an entrepreneur and businessman. He's also known as the Beard Guy. He stands at the forefront of the economic mega machine known as Amazon Marketplace. As a leading expert with over 25 years of product sourcing, development, and branding expertise, Norm is an advisor to many and an inspiration to all. Oh, that is so wonderful. Good morning, Norman. How are you?
I did not write that.
I didn't think you did, but it had that ring to it. You know, I like that.
Yeah, this is great. I'm happy to be here.
The beard guy. I know this guy. That's what the sign in the back says. The beard guy. So I guess I'm going to ask the obvious, you know, question, the elephant in the room. Why are you called the beard guy?
Well, you know, first of all, it ended up becoming a brand. That's it. I used to go to a lot of networking shows and you know, I'd go and I'd meet people and then I'd follow up and nobody would remember you. Well, they definitely remember you when you have, you know, a 2 or 3 foot long beard. So anyways, that's why I'm called the Beard Guy. It's just a brand that I've used and I've people know me through the e-com community as the Beard Guy.
So you're a leader with Amazon Marketplace. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so Amazon's a just a big beast. If you don't understand the marketplace, You think that you could just go on just like any e-commerce community and make sales? You're wrong. So what we do is, or what I've done is, I've spent time becoming an expert at e-com and at Amazon specifically. Mm-hmm. But like anything, to become an expert, you have to study and you have to learn the whole experience from getting onto Amazon to the whole buyer experience. So this is something that I've been able to do. I've been able to understand really the psychology of a sale, getting a listing up there, what's going to make products sell. I call it the Brady Bunch effect, you know, by outperforming all of your other competitors. And then your follow-up, you know, how do you get repeat sales? And, you know, at the end of the day too, is this a legacy or are you going to be trying to sell it? So we, you know, create the exit strategy for brands, the SOPs for brands, setting them up so they're ready for their exit, rather than just doing it all wrong. And then when they find out that they really want to sell, they've got so much catch up to do, or they've lost a zero off the end of their evaluation because they've just done it wrong. So we just advise.
What would you say is the number one strategy for being successful on Amazon Marketplace?
One thing, resilience. I think that's true just with entrepreneurship, you know, across the board. You're going to wake up one day and Amazon, because again, it's a big beast, they have an algorithm that runs everything, and all of a sudden your account's suspended. Well, going back, you know, we were just hearing Shahara talk about risk evaluation. If you don't have that risk evaluation, if you don't know what to do next when you find out that your listing is suspended, well, you're stuck and you'll just go down. So, you know, it's important that you have the risk evaluation, that you are resilient, and that, you know, you are always learning new things that are coming up. Amazon changes policies, TOS, every day. And that's similar in e-com, right across the board. That's similar in business. But Amazon is just one segment that, for at least for my company, is that you have to understand it through and through.
And it sounds like you do. I have so many questions for you because I have a couple. I tell people all the time, and I'm honest about it. You know, I'm not trying to cover anything up. Part of the reason why I do this show is for selfish reasons. Like, where else can you just sit down and go, okay, how do I be successful at this? Teach me how to do this. So I want to learn. I have a couple of books on Amazon. I like to get up there.
Perfect. You just let me know.
I'm going to come back to you, Norman. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Vid Lamonte Buggs Jr. Vid is an athlete, scholar, entrepreneur, philanthropist, best-selling author, speaker, poet, consultant, volunteer, coach, a modern-day Renaissance man. Vid Buggs is a man of diverse interests who directs his many talents towards bringing people together, encouraging them to look past their differences to unite to make the world a better place. Vid and his companies, 4Unique Publishing and VLB/VBJ Enterprises, have been featured in several publications, including U.S. Weekly, Huffington Post, and Forbes. Good morning, Vid. How are you?
I'm well. You?
Man, I got tired just reading the bio. Like, I'm like, I'm tired. I know you gotta be tired. So you on my show, right? And I warned you before. I told everybody I have no idea what is going to happen. So I need a poem. That's what I need. I need something to start off this morning. What you got for me? Got to be short, though. I only have a couple of minutes, but I need something. Show some skills.
Oh, man. You're going to have to come back to me on that.
Okay. But if I come back, you going to have one?
I might have something about these earbuds that's falling out that I just got. So if you hear me, see me playing with my ears, that's the problem. But
That was a stall technique. I'm trying to get a poem. See, you got to think on your feet. You could at least hit me with the roses are red.
That's too predictable.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to be original. Yeah, I'm better than that.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Vid.
It's fine.
Talk to us about your passion. Who are you? What do you do? Tell us.
I'm a modern day Renaissance man. My passion is helping others overcome their adversities so they could reach their potentials and accomplish their goals and dreams. So what I have going now is something called the warrior mindset, warrior lifestyle, which mm-hmm. warriors, all of us, I believe, are warriors. In order to be successful in life, whatever success is to you, you have to overcome yourself. And that's what a warrior does, overcome that self, always learning. And from a business aspect, staying ahead of the trends. You know, we talked about this pandemic. For me and my companies, we saw something like this happening years ago. So we went remote. My publishing company, basically, we're everyone that works for me, we're remote, you know. And I think that's what adds to our success, because when a pandemic came, we didn't have to adjust anything far as from a, you know, working standpoint. We Zoom, we Slack, we, you know, do all these video conferences and everything. So, but anyway, bringing it back, that's part of the warrior mindset and warrior lifestyle, you know? So that's that. That's my passion.
You know what? I like you. I'm gonna say this, Vid, but one of the things that I kind of do on the show and people notice is I'll say, you know what? I judge people, but not necessarily in a negative way, but we mm-hmm. see people, we always have certain kind of, you know, preconceived ideas. And I have never in my life seen someone so laid back talk about the warrior mindset. Like, you just seem so like chill, I guess is the word. How does that play into being a warrior, I guess?
Well, I mean, a warrior knows their self. You know, I don't think you have to be, at certain times you do have to be rah-rah. And I'm like that a lot of times, you know, I'm very stern, but at the same time, it's about, everything is about balance, mm-hmm. right? So I think I also feed off of others' energy, mm-hmm. you know? So I think we have a very laid back panel. And so I could be laid back, you know?
So it's their fault, Norman, Shahara. No, okay, but when anyone comes and they tell me, Sharifa, I want to help people, I want to motivate, I always get past and get to the why. Why? Usually it's a day, a moment, an individual, a story, something occurred to where they say, you know what, I have to make a difference. What was that for you?
Okay, well, I'm originally from Hampton, Virginia.
I went to Hampton University.
Okay, so there we go. I went to Old Dominion. But and when you know the area, it's a lot of good, it's a lot of, you know, bad, like everywhere else. But just briefly getting on it, when I was born, the doctor said I wouldn't walk regularly because I had feet issues, back issues, all this other stuff. As you read in a bio, I became an athlete. But also through school, I had a reading issue, a speaking impediment. And a lot of my teachers and my counselor, or one of guidance counselor, didn't think I could make it, you know. And I graduated with highest honors, went to college, did all these other things. But that's where my passion comes from, because like, no matter what we face or what people, the labels people put on us, it's all about us, what we believe in, and our fight and our resilience, as Norman said, our perseverance. And so my passion is showing others that they can be and do whatever they put their mind to. And so that's why I do all this stuff. And honestly, I don't think, I know when I was in college, I didn't dream of being an author or having a publishing company or even being a speaker, you know, but here I am. So, you know, I just follow the passion, and the passion is to help others be the best they can be.
I have more questions, but I want to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Dr. Regine Meridian. is a licensed clinical psychologist, speaker, author, and mental health advocate. She specializes in stress and anxiety, and her first children's book, Frankie and the Worry Bees, has just been released. This book helps children tackle the anxieties brought up by today's climate. Good morning, Dr. Regine. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
You're welcome. You got to get your energy up. Your energy up has been down, so I got to make sure we all up.
Yeah, same. Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here. Great panel.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining me. Now, your children's book, that was kind of interesting to me because I know we're all suffering, you know, during this climate and everything that's going on. So why a children's book? Why the focus on children?
Yeah, so I work primarily with children and teens, and also parenting. And actually, the book wasn't even planned. So I like what, Lamont, what you were saying, and how things just happen spontaneously. And that's how this happened. So when the pandemic hit, just like with Roundtable in March, kids had to, I had to do business in a different way. And, you know, like Shahara was mentioning, you know, getting on Zoom, and then I noticed a lot of Zoom fatigue. Kids weren't motivated. This was hard, and they're still struggling with that. And so I had to really think quickly on how I was going to change the way I do business, right? You're no longer in a room with me. I'm very big on energy exchange. I think that it's so different when we're together versus on a screen. So I use a lot of illustrations just in general in my practice and kind of like metaphors and things like that. And it was all about, you know, and that's how it just started. So I started using illustrations. I always say I give kudos to my incredible illustrator. I didn't do the illustrations in my book, Tim Negreen. But it was just the idea of, well, what, you know what? I know you're really struggling. Why don't you write down all the negative thoughts that you're experiencing right now and turn them into positives, because I know we can really get stuck in the positive in this unknown right now. But how about shifting your mindset? And what does that look like for you? And then the exercise was just them repeating the positives every day. So for example, they would say, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm not motivated. I don't want to go to school, or whatever it was on their mind, and shifting it into a positive mindset. And they would repeat this every day. It was honestly just a trial, just to see how it would work. They would post it on their wall. They would make their own drawings, be creative with it. And after a week or two, and just researching this on multiple kids, they were like, oh my God, this worked. I feel so much better. I can do this. And so it really showed me that, okay, it's time to put this into a story, because it can be so helpful to so many. And not just with kids, even though it's a children's book, adults are connecting really well to it as well. And the book was born. So again, we didn't go to school to learn how to be an author, how to be a writer. And it just shows that you can, yes, like, you know, you were mentioning earlier, you can do whatever your mind wants to do. And it's just putting the ideas on paper. And that's how it happened.
Let me ask you this, because I want to make sure I understand correctly. You know, I get confused easily. I think it's, we won't talk about that, my age now. But is this like a workbook where they do the work with you, as opposed to that they get the book and they go on about their merry way?
Oh, so the idea of the book came from that activity I did. And then I created a story, and it's about this little boy, Frankie, who talks about his worries and how his worries show up at school, how they show up at home, how they show up with friends. So it's a story. And at the end of the book, I do have an activity. But the activity is what I was just using with clients and in my practice. And that's how the story was born. So I did include the activity at the end, because that was my inspiration. Mm-hmm. But yes, parents, when they buy the book, there's an activity at the end. I'm actually also in the process of doing some really cute notepads with the Frankie with his two little bubbles on the side, and having kids just post it. So that's in the works. So maybe, Norman, I'm going to talk to you about that. But yes, that's a great question. But it's a story and kind of has an activity at the end. Yeah. So parents can start the conversation. I think it's really important with mental health that we start talking about what's going on, that kids feel comfortable sharing their emotions. And that's really the focus, and to show that, hey, you know what, Frankie, you're not the only one who worries. Your parents do too. Mm-hmm. And just opening up that conversation.
I think that's wonderful. I think that's beautiful. One of the things that I've been asking different people's opinion on is a conversation that I had many years ago, because you're in California with me. A few years ago, the whole K-12 idea started to become so popular, you know, which everyone doesn't have it, but the focus on homeschooling. So I had a friend, again, years ago, who sent her son had her son doing homeschooling. And I said, I don't know about this, because it's the social aspect for me that I was most concerned about. When you go to school, you learn from your peers. You learn, you know, from an environment, not just your mom teaching you this thing. So we were having this discussion and she was adamant about it. Her son wound up being valedictorian of his class, went to the stage to give his speech, looked out at the audience, broke down in tears, and ran off the stage. And this was pre-COVID, you know? So I'm like, I kind of told her, like, I think I just proved my point. Like, he's afraid of the world at this point, you know? So it's a fear in me, and I try not to worry, you know? But there's a part of me that goes, okay, how are the kids handling the social aspect? Because there's only so much you can do with Zoom and a friend at 8, you know?
Yes, that's such a great point you bring up. Actually, my next book, it's coming out 2021. I'm doing a series, Frankie and His Homeschool Adventures. But, you know, I think that's what I'm definitely noticing right now is, I mean, I'm a mom of three, so I'm also Zoom parent during the day and helping my kids. And I am definitely noticing huge struggle with socialization, especially if you have an extrovert child who loves to socialize, like the social butterflies, and are just so used to being active, activities, you know, kids playing soccer, baseball, basketball, dance, art, theater, whatever it is, they don't have that anymore. So that's why we are seeing an increase in depressive feelings. And we're seeing an increase in anxiety. I think on a positive note, just to keep it there, I think the blessing here is that parents, now that they're home with their kids, they've been able to pick up on things that they didn't see before. Now, in terms of kids, we are going to go back eventually. And when we do go back, I feel like kids are very resilient. They will bounce back. Are they going to have a hard time at first? Absolutely. We've kind of got used to this now. And what is it going to be even for us adults going back into an office type setting or any professional in general when you're so used to just being in the comfort now of your own home? So I think there's going to be some adjustment, but you know, there's nothing like learning socialization skills, right? In school, we don't really, it's just connecting. You know, we learn through challenges, we learn through failures. That's how we get back up and become successful. And kids are not really getting that right now. They're not getting, looking at their peers, you know, seeing Johnny over there really struggling and how can I really help him? Or seeing that little boy sitting on the bench who's no one's playing with him and me going up to him and saying, hey, do you wanna play with me? So we're not having that interaction. But they're going to be okay. I mean, I feel confident that they will be able to bounce back. And homeschooling is a very personal, personal decision. I think that we will probably see more kids being homeschooled. That's very possible because of some kids are doing fantastic right now, by the way, via Zoom. They really are, and some are struggling. So I think it's just putting a new perspective on how school will be and what this virus will look like. That's another thing is how are we going to go back to school and what that's going to look like? So it's going to be interesting. So that's why I came out with the second book on homeschool.
Oh yeah. So you have to come back. When that book is getting ready to launch, come back to the show. Definitely. We'll talk about it. No, it's, the whole aspect is affecting everyone. Did mention that he's years ahead of this by working remotely, working virtually. Shahara, was this a change for you? Were you one of the people who was always in the office, or were you virtual as well?
I was mostly virtual. I mean, so I've pretty much been, I have an office. I've had an office for 20 years, but I've always worked from home and in the office, never just like strictly in the office. Of course, once, you know, Zoom became, you know, a bigger thing and, you know, I was able to do a lot more stuff remotely. I did that because my clients, Houston, most of you know, is a very, very large city. And so even for my clients that are here locally, you know, to drive, we always say, this is the thing saying in Houston is Houston's an hour away from Houston. Like you just, you know, and you just know
LA's exactly the same.
You don't want to spend that time driving from one side of town to another. So a lot of my clients, you know, didn't really want to come to the office. That at any time they would come to the office, just kind of see that I was a real person, and then, you know, they wouldn't come back. So, you know, a lot of stuff I was doing via email anyway, phone calls anyway, Zoom when we needed to anyway, a lot of that stuff was happening. So I had the capability of being remote. So it really wasn't that huge of a change. You know, there were of course some things that had to change. And I think for me personally, not necessarily the business, I realized, like Regine, you know, I have one son at home. So thank God it's not three. I don't think I could survive it. You know, a preteen at home and being stuck at home with him, you know, when his school was like, okay, we're not coming back. And that was right before spring break. And then we like home with each other 24/7, which was not, the Lord did not mean for that to happen. You know, I was like, okay, we got to adjust. I have to adjust. You know, I can't do business, you know.
What about your food bill?
Oh yeah, no. Well, the snacks, first of all, mm-hmm. I was like, listen, you know, I bought food for the week, you know, snacks for the week. You can't eat a week worth of snacks in 2 days. I can't do this, you know, like right. These things got to stop, you know. And I was just like, okay, I just don't buy anything anymore. I'm like, you know what, I hope you make it last. If you don't, you don't starve, because I'm not going back, you know, to the store every 3 days. That's not gonna happen.
I just wanted to ask, because I talked to so many parents and I'm like, what's the upside? What's the downside? And
oh my gosh. Like a giant thing of, like, you know, chips, you know, the big Lay's chips that have the big box. And I was like, okay, well, you know, this will be good to snack on and get through. Like, I think my kid ate through them in like 2 days. And I was like, dude, this is like 38 chips. Like, there's just no way that you could eat 38 bags of chips in 2 days. And it would like be gone. So yeah, no, that was a whole situation. But I mean, for me, for clients wise, I just couldn't be as available as I was. And I thought I could be, and I realized, you know, by the summer that it took me a while, that I just can't be the way I used to be. And I had to make some hardline changes about how I did business, period, cut off my availability. Some of my clients didn't like it, and I get it, because they were used to being able to get to me. But I can't handle, you know, all the stuff that I have going on at home and be available to you in the way that I was before. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. But you were firm. Put your foot down, Norman.
For me, working at home, it's kind of part of everyday life. I've always, for the last 10 years, instead of driving into Toronto, been working remotely. I've got a team of employees and contractors all over the place, all over the world. So we've always had to learn how to communicate. One of the things that helped us communicate and get things done were creating a series of standard operating procedures. So we could scale the company, we could get new clients on board, it could be consistent, and we can communicate on a consistent level. So that was really important for us, just to improve our communications. But yeah, it's hard, because a lot of the time I make my living by going and networking. Networking is so important. When this is cut off, try going on to a virtual meeting and network. It doesn't happen. You know, it's so, I don't know, breaking bread with somebody and being able to have a Zoom call, two different things.
Yeah.
You know, so it is tough. It's been a big adjustment. One thing for me is, I've been able to do a few different things because I'm home that I wouldn't have been able to do. And so I've been able to create a couple of new companies, which if COVID didn't happen, it 100% wouldn't have happened. I would have just been on the road. So over this period of time, we've opened three companies. Mm-hmm. So.
And you can just leave us with the, we opened three companies, Norman. We need some details.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, so just back in my, back in the day, I used to have a sourcing company. So I teamed up with a guy that came out of Alibaba, and we opened up a sourcing logistics company over in China. Mm-hmm. The other company is a PR company. So mm-hmm. with Amazon, press releases are very important. So I bought the first phase of this, a press release company, and then converted it into communication company where we do content marketing and influencer marketing. So then, and public relations. So
you get around to the public relations.
Well. There we go. And the last company, which is really cool, it's sort of a leads gen company mixed with Facebook Messenger. So getting people to interact with Facebook Messenger, building up influencers, building up brand ambassadors, and then that leads to sales. So those are the three companies that were created over COVID, which were all kind of cool.
I think it sounds kind of cool. And I think we need to talk because, you know, we got to get the roundtable talk show out there, get it popular. So yes, we're going to have a conversation. Vid, I wanted to ask you, with your publishing company, one of the things that I've been told is that just like Zoom stock skyrocketed, you know, over 800%. I don't even know where it landed. But in publishing, you have so many people who are sitting home, absolutely nothing to do. And they're like, you know what? I have the time to write that book. Have you seen an increase in new authors?
Yes. Yes. And more readers.
Definitely.
Yeah. So yeah. Just in the first, well, Florida is a little different. So let me just put that out there because I say that because like, we're not really shut down, you know? So we're talking about businesses and schools and network.
What does that mean? Like we're not, because I like the one word that I use all the time is the word basically. I use it all the time and I hate it because, and I try to stop because I'm like, it either is or it isn't. So well, I need to understand what really not shut down means.
Okay, so Florida is like normal right now. You know, kids are going to school. You do have the choice to keep them back, homeschool them, Zoom. People are going to the bars and restaurants, going to work, you know, that sort of stuff. So
basically my audience just all left California and moved to Florida.
I think we're coming.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, wait a minute.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we'll get back on that. But going to the publishing, so March 21st is when we did shut down for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then that time, I did see, so let's say March to May-ish, where the whole country shut down. I mean, I think we got over 100 submissions from authors, but sales were just going up, you know.
What do you typically have?
Per what, in a month?
No, because you said they went up to 100. So
it's not, the average is 20, you know, 20 for submissions for in an average month for us. But over 100, that's crazy. You know, I was pleased, you know, when I got that information, but as far as well as sales and everything, why I brought up Florida not really being shut down was because as I'm hearing the other panelists, I'm thinking, well, one, homeschool. I think this pandemic has actually pushed things further along. Where I see in Florida, or where I saw in Florida before the pandemic, I was actually telling someone, we have a lot of office business buildings for lease. No one's going to lease those out, right? Because this is why I've seen it before the pandemic. Things are going more remote, right? You know, the big companies, Google and et cetera, has set that standard where they're allowing people to work from home over in the East Coast or whatever. So it's a trend. right? Is this something that a lot of people wasn't ahead of? And so now these companies or these people are feeling the effects of that. And the same thing in my eyes, for school, as far as schooling, because in Florida, you have a lot more people going to private school or homeschooling. Mm-hmm. So besides the Zoom aspect of it, homeschooling wasn't that much of an issue here, mm-hmm. because people were doing that. The only con of that for a little bit of time when we had that 2 weeks of shutdown was no sports. So homeschool over here consists of you homeschool, then you go to a rec center or whatever, and they do their gym time, whatever. So that's why I made the comment of in Florida is we're really not shut down or anything.
Mm-hmm. Might have to deal with some of that humidity or something, mess up the hair. Or something.
California. Yeah, I'm good here. I'm happy with the shutdown. I'm like, you know what? I know there's some people that don't care, but I'm like, nope. And I have clients that are like, can I come? I'm like, nope, you can't come. We not doing any in-person meetings. If you can't do it by Zoom, we can't do business. Like, that's just not going to happen. So I'm definitely much more on the cautious side. I had an option of let my son go to school, and I said no. He's going to stay. I sent him to my sister's house, so I don't have him here with me, which is why it's quiet. The dog is, I don't know where she is actually at this point, but you know, he's at my sister's, and she's you know, not working, you know, she's able to watch him and do that, so that helps at least get some consistency. But yeah, I've been very adamant about not doing that, and I probably won't until, you know, probably May or June, you know, allow people back into the office, maybe once the vaccine gets a little out, because I just don't feel that people are taking this seriously enough for my taste.
They have pretty much the same sentiment here in Southern California, because everything is shut down, you know, kind of hard to go to your favorite restaurant when, you know, but hey, people are losing their lives, so we have to remain positive. Mm-hmm. Norman, I wanted to talk to you. You have a podcast, correct?
Right. Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your podcast. What do you talk about?
Well, it ended up being two podcasts. So the
first one, a lot of time.
This is.
Yes, I love it.
This is a COVID project, but I was having a cigar out on my porch with my three kids, which, by the way, the absolute best thing that ever happened during COVID was getting the three boys back, which that would never happen in my lifetime. So I had three guys back, 23, 25, 28, and we, you know, just kind of chilled together and did things, which was kind of cool because it would never happen. But having this cigar, I had three phone calls, and my one son turned to me, and during the phone call, I kept saying, Oh, I know this guy. And so that was a common denominator. My son said, why don't you do a podcast? And I said, there's no way I'm doing a podcast. I am really fearful of going live like this. And so anyways, we started a podcast, and what we targeted was we went out to my network, and we just targeted some really cool people, interesting people who have an interesting background, who have failed. So we wanted to see what their failure was, what they've learned from their failure, how they bounce back, and success. And the key which got this going was at the end of the podcast, I just say, to the guest, okay, you know, I've got one question. Do you know a guy? And then, you know, a guy or a gal. And that's what it is. I know this gal, I know this guy. But anyways, they point me in the direction of the most interesting person they know, which it's crazy, the people that we've had on.
Wow, that is so cool. I know a guy and a gal and a girl and a guy. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of interesting people.
Let's talk.
We're going to do a whole lot of talking, but I'm going to answer the question since you asked me, you know, mentally. I heard your question, Norman. I'm going to tell you the answer to the question on how I feel and what I learned, because I ran for Long Beach City Council. And one of the funny things, at least it was funny to me, during the whole campaign, I had a team, about 12 people, right? And I would always say to them, I don't mind losing. I just don't want to come in sixth place. That's like, because I'm like, guys, we got work to do. We got to, you know, get this done. I don't mind losing. I don't want to come in sixth place. You know what place I came in? Sixth place, right? But one of the things that I learned is that I didn't lose because I met so many different people. I learned the process. I learned what politics is like. That's why I'm running for Senate in the 2022 election. So yes, I didn't get that, but I learned a lot in the process. So you could take that answer, take that snippet, put it on your show since I already answered the
question. There we go.
I think Dr. Regine.
Yes.
Have you failed at anything?
Yes, I love, just self-publishing in general, right? So just talk about writing process. I teach this a lot and I talk about this all the time with my kids is you will fail and you have to get back up. And I do a lot of mental advocacy in the schools and I tell kids all the time, you're gonna fail, but that's gonna make you stronger. That's gonna make you more resilient, more confident. Take that energy that, you know, stay in that negative place, right? And feel like you're going to feel down, take a few days. And I think that's the whole point of toxic positivity that people talk about. They'll say, you know, sometimes like, well, what do you mean? You can't be positive all the time. And I said, no, this is not about being positive all the time. This is about allowing yourself to feel those emotions. So yes, have I felt that? Absolutely. Many, many times in my life. But I don't allow that. I, you know, it's a constant reminder of saying, okay, this didn't work out. Why didn't it work out? There's a bigger message. There's another door that opens. And being better next time and learning from that mistake. And, you know, that's why I honestly went the self-publishing route. I could have waited and just, you know, of course, everyone's dream is to have a publisher to really publish your book. But I really wanted to keep the message. And I think that's what's so important in working with a publisher, that we believe in the same message and that we can work together and that we can be, you know, bounce off each other's ideas, but that we have the same common denominator at the end. But yes, absolutely. I feel failure's a huge, I don't see failure in a negative way. I just see it in a way, get back on the horse, get back up there. You can do this. And I think that's what Vid was talking about, right? About success. And what does success really mean? And Norman, you were mentioning that too, is the only way to succeed is to fail, right? Because you could either take the failure in a negative way and just stay in that rut and stay in that negative mindset. Or you can take it like COVID. I mean, how many people are just, oh my God, this is just awful. Yes, lives have been lost. It is awful. I'm not going to deny that. However, the way I'm really empowering people and even myself and my family, and I talk to my kids about this every day, I say, look, things will eventually go back to normal. What is it right now in our family that we did not have before? And that's the reflection that I try to maintain in the home is, we're having family dinners. We're having lunch. Oh gosh, the food. Oh my Lord. I have a 12 and 9 year old. Everything. I mean, I totally, Char, I feel you there. But you know, I think there's a lot of emotional eating happening. I think the kids are bored out of their mind. You know, they're on Zoom. They want to eat. Zoom is over. What do we do now? They used to use all this energy in other places and other ways. And now they don't have that. But I totally feel you on that one. And you know, it's just really helping them see, well, what were we weren't able to sit here. I mean, I've learned so much about my kids, right? Mm-hmm. And just being together. And so Norman, it was so touching what you said about having your boys at home. I mean, it's incredible. And we're not going to have this moment. So it's really about enjoying today. Every morning when my son gets up or every time he comes to me and wants to hug me, he's such a hugger and he loves hugs and kisses every day. He's so cute. I always try to remember, let's say I'm busy, like you were just saying, Sharif, as you started the show, if somebody just walks in, they're there, they're with you. I try to always be mindful in that moment. Wow, I'm not going to get this again. It's say in 10 years from now, I'm going to enjoy every single moment. I'm going to put aside what I'm doing and I'm going to give him that hug that he needs right now. And all my kids do it. Like even my 15-year-old, she'll come, mommy, can I have a hug? Even if I'm sending an email or I'm doing something, I'll put it down. Okay. And I'll just remind myself to just be present because they're going to be off and we won't have that anymore. It's like the whole idea of co-sleeping. You know, people ask me that all the time. I'm like, you're not going to have that. That's yes. Gone. Trust me. They'll be in their yes. room and they'll shut the door and they're gone.
Yes. Yes. I agree. My kids are 23 and 26 now. So I always tell people with young kids, hold on to this moment, yes, because yes, the older they get, you know, the less they want to do with you. They want to go out, yes, into the world, you know. And I always said it was easier being a parent with young children because you just literally picked them up, put them in the car and took them wherever you wanted to go. Now my kids, you know, they're adults now, but as they were teenagers, they would, yes, start with this negotiation. Well, we don't feel like going. What? Get in the car, you know. Like, so I'm completely relating to you, Norman. Yeah. So we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and what I love to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Vid.
What they can take away from my appearance today is that no matter what, you can overcome anything. As Regine was saying, she had a positive spin on failure. To me, if you ask me the question, have I ever failed? I would say no. The reason why is because if you can learn from something, it's not a failure. And life is about growth. And so just because you might have temporary letdowns, you can overcome them. You can still succeed, accomplish your goals. But as all of us were talking about this pandemic, it's always positive things and something that's negative. We just have to find those positive things and hold on to them and keep growing. So that's what I want the viewers to take from my appearance.
Okay, don't we owe Sharifa something?
A little poem, huh? Okay.
I forgot. Not that bad.
I am going to be predictable now. Violets are red. Roses are red. Violets are blue. I had a good time appearing on your show. I hope you did too. I don't know.
No, beautiful, yay!
No, it won't beautiful, but.
See, it's just the effort, you know what I mean? It's just the effort. I just need to be able to make the next tomorrow's show, I could be like, okay, y'all gotta bring it up because yesterday the guy read me a poem that he wrote on the spot. See, that's how I have to do
deep.
It.
So yeah, I gotta really think about it. I'm usually more in depth and deep with it. So,
okay. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna give you some days and some time to think about it, marinate on it, and then I'm gonna need you to email it to me, and then I'm gonna put it out in Monday's newsletter, right? So everybody can see the greatness that is Vid.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, Shahar, what do you have for us?
Well, thanks again for having me on. It's really fun talking with everyone. I just hope that, you know, as business owners, I always say give yourself space. Give yourself space to breathe and permission, you know, to need to take some time. I think a lot of times in this, you know, what I call Facebook prophets, you know, they're always trying to tell you what you need to be doing, what you should be doing. And if you need to take a break, you need to take a moment, you know, to for yourself, to get your mind right, then do it. It's okay. You know, and just give yourself room to breathe. You know, you don't have to be perfect all the time and on top of everything all the time. And you can, you know, have a mental meltdown, you know, on your own time, and it's okay.
Okay, Shahara, because I'm gonna be like, if I have a mental breakdown or mental meltdown, I'm saying Shahara said I could. It had to
I
be
know. I just stuff. Posted on my right before we aired. I posted on my Facebook page like that. Today, I think I've hit my pandemic peak, and my brain has melted because like. I started a project this morning and when I opened everything up, I forgot like what I was doing and why I was doing it. You know, I thought today was Friday, even though my calendar was saying Thursday. See, I don't even know what day it is. You know, it's like crazy. Like really early in the morning still. And I was like confused. So, I mean, it's okay though. It's all good.
You know what is hilarious to me? I like you, Shahar, but it's like you held it. I really feel like you about to have a breakdown, not a mental breakdown.
I'm struggling.
Like a mental meltdown. But it's like you held it together for an hour. Like you were calm and polite. Now you're like, okay, wait a minute. Like
I'm taking a nap after this for real. Like I'm like, yeah. And then we're going to start over like about one.
Do over. Dr. Rasheed, what do you have for us?
So one thing I wanted everyone to take away. So first, yes, thank you for having me. It was so wonderful meeting all of you wonderful panelists with such incredible jobs and missions that you have. So it's so nice to be here and meet you today. So I think the most important thing to take away is never giving up. And I feel that, I think just going back to failure, I feel that there's so many times in your life, especially now with COVID, that you're going to feel the need to give up. And really think about what you can create next. What can you do? I believe there's, in each one of you, there's a creator. There's something that you've wanted to do, maybe on your bucket list, maybe something that you've always dreamed of. So just step back and, you know, don't be scared and take notes and write it down and, you know, let it sit for a while and then come back to it. And like Sahar was saying, yes, you're going to have these bad days and where you just feel down and allow yourself to feel down. It's okay. And then tomorrow will be another day. So don't give up, keep on pushing and enjoy this time. You know, take the moment to ask someone, how are you? How are you feeling? Just take that moment to just listen and just, you know, whether it's with your husband, your caregiver, your spouse, whoever it is around you, your kids, a friend, just pick up the phone and or do a Zoom or whatever feels comfortable to you and really check in with them and how they're doing, because I feel like people really need that human connection right now more than ever. Just being here and connecting with all of you has been so incredible, even though we can't be in person. And I think that's the biggest thing I want people to really take away. And, you know, nothing is forever. And, you know, we're going to move forward and it's going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And where can people pick up a copy of your book?
On Amazon. So Frankie and the Worry Bees is available on Amazon. Amazon. and there's also a link on my website. I have a book link. It's Regine, R-E-G-I-N-E, Meradian.com. So thank you.
Yes. Speaking of Amazon, Norman.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I mean, we touched on it, you know, Regine touched on it, but I think it's really important right now for listeners to do regular, just mental health checkups. You know, where are you at this point right now? There's a lot of people that I talk to that get really down. So, you know, how do you snap out of it? It's very tough. You've got to talk. A friend of mine's got what's it called? The Hansel Foundation, which you donate to the foundation, but you get these convo plates that you pass out to from people to people to people to talk about, you know, issues about mental health. And so anyways, I think that's important. And it's a stage. Everybody right now is feeling down, but you can turn that around. You know, it could be a family thing, you know, it could be a business thing. And there's so many ways right now. You may have lost your job, but there's so many ways that you can survive. And, you know, it's not just on the government. It could be going into e-commerce, you know, being able to do something very inexpensively or taking advantage of some subsidies, but just turn it around, going and getting some online education. So anybody can do it with the right mindset. And I think that's really important. So that's my takeaway.
I think that is so powerful. That was very powerful. Thank you for that. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you're not important. We still need your help. We still need your support. We still need you to go ahead and share the show. But please don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Please support our guests. They've been here with you this morning, providing you with so much education, entertainment, and we've had a wonderful show. Visit their websites. The information is in the Facebook post. And please follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you want more information on how I can help your business Or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th. Or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. Please visit my website at asharifa.com. Until next time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Bye-bye.